You're listening to local programming produced in KUNV Studios.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Welcome to NBA School and the Basketball IQ Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Lawrence. I'm here to give an educated breakdown on all things NBA. This is episode 19 of the Basketball IQ Podcast. Unfortunately, at least for this season, this will be the last episode. I will be back in the fall to talk more about the NBA and to talk your ear off for 30 minutes to an hour, depending on the topic. But I just wanted to thank the support that I got from not just friends and family, but even some people on campus. I've had a couple people that recognized my voice when I was ordering something, which is the first time I've ever experienced that in my life. So I want to appreciate and thank all of you for giving a kid from Seattle who, you know, didn't know anything about podcasting. I still have a lot to learn, but for just giving me a chance and giving me a listen, I want to thank all of you for doing that. For this last episode of the season, we're going to not do a traditional format. We're going to run down some of my favorite segments. I think there's about 8 in total. So expect a longer episode today. There's going to be some rants on there. I think there's 2 rants. Some collaboration stuff that I did with other people that I became friends with on campus during the season. It was a hell of a ride this year. It was a really fun year to talk about. Even going back to some of my old clips and hearing the takes that I had was really funny in preparation for this. So I hope you guys enjoy this. And I'll see you in the fall of 2024 to talk about more NBA stuff. Hope you enjoy what I put together. Get right into it. So the main story that everyone's been talking about lately is this GM survey that, like I said, has the people talking. And if you aren't familiar with the GM survey, essentially it's questions like which team will win the 2024 finals, which players will win the MVP, et cetera, et cetera. So I just wanted to go through most of them, but not all of them, and just see what's been going up. And if you don't, this is done by the GMs of the NBA, and these people are supposed to be the smartest people in basketball because they build our favorite teams. But sometimes people think that they're trolling and, you know, or just be bullshitting through this. And I might kind of agree with them. With some of them, so we start off, which team will win the 2024 championship? Celtics and Nuggets are tied in that. Most people think Nikola Jokic will win his third MVP. Most GMs do. The real spot where I think maybe some of these GMs aren't taking this fully seriously is the position stuff. Now, I'm not somebody that really cares about positions in the NBA. I think that era is basically dead, but you know, you got to make a survey, right? You got to come up with the questions. So the best point guard of the NBA, Steph Curry. I mean, I would tend to agree. He's the best point guard. He's been the best point guard in the NBA for about 9 years now. So he took the reins from Chris Paul in that department. So I would agree with that. But then for shooting guard is where things get interesting. They have Devin Booker as the best shooting guard. Makes sense. He's basically the consensus of 63%. But then they have Stephen Curry, who I don't think has played shooting guard, at least Basketball Reference says. He hasn't played shooting guard in a long time, probably since his rookie year when he was playing with Monte Ellis. So it's like I get he's a combo guard and he can do several things out there on the court, but that doesn't mean like he can't be the best point guard and the second best shooting guard. Another thing about the shooting guard list is that Donovan Mitchell didn't get any votes. So it went Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Anthony Edwards, and Shea, with Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum, who hasn't played shooting guard a day in his life. He's only been a 3 and a 4. Donovan Mitchell, you know, with the 71-point game and him essentially carrying the Cavs offensively during the playoffs, I'm surprised that he's not on this. Best small forward is Jason Tatum. Power forward is Giannis. Best center, Nikola Jokic. I am a Joel Embiid fan. Some people may think in my circle that I am a Joel Embiid stan, but, you know, who really gives a damn? But, you know, it's just when the position stuff is always weird to me because, like I said, positions don't really matter. But, you know, like Giannis sometimes is going to play center this year, but he's listed as power forward and he didn't get any center votes. But it's whatever. I'm the only person that really cares about this stuff anyway. Other than the positions, the one that I find the category that I find super interesting is what team made the best overall moves and just overall off-season stuff. Because I don't know about you, but when I talk to my friends about the NBA, we're not sitting there like who's the best small forward, shooting guard, point guard. We don't do that. Like we talk about who had the best off-season, you know, this guy going here might make an impact. So that's what this is really about. So which team made the best overall moves? Boston and Milwaukee both tied at 23%. Portland at third is kind of surprising. Which one player will make the best, or player acquisition will make the best? Wow, I can't talk. Will make the biggest impact. Damian Lillard going to Milwaukee with Jrue Holiday second. It's funny that Fred VanVleet to Houston got 7% of the vote. I think he will have a major impact on that locker room, on Jalen Green, on maybe even Şengün. Maybe they can do some pick and roll action there. And I think that could be, that could make a very large impact on that young group. And then we have Victor Wembanyama. Now, he hasn't played, I mean, he's played a preseason game. I have a segment about Vic and his, you know, his craze later here in the pod. But I'm not a hater. I actually like Vic. I really like Vic. It's just sometimes I feel like his craze just gets a little too much. It's like, guys, this dude's a rookie. Like, let's calm down here. Most underrated player acquisition, we have Marcus Smart, Grant Williams. I like how Max Strus is here. Because I feel like Heat players, they really, like they're always in those free agency talks. And then when they get their contracts, it's like, wow, this guy wasn't the same or isn't the same. Like, I remember when Dion Waiters left and he just wasn't the same guy. I remember when Tyler Johnson got $18 million from Miami. So I think I remember they matched an offer from, I forgot who, and it just didn't go well for the rest of his career. I remember him on the Nets like a year ago. So that's where he is now. But hey, maybe Max Strus is different. Maybe he can lead Cleveland, or not lead Cleveland, but you know, he can be a quality role player for them and help them win. We have what was the most surprising move of the offseason, the Holiday Lillard trade. When I first read this, I was like, what do they mean by surprising? Because maybe where Dame went, not going to the Heat, is what they mean. But if they mean Damian Lillard getting traded as being surprising, that's just funny to me. And another one, Bradley Beal to Phoenix. Why did that not get votes or as many votes? I got 7%. Like when Bradley, I think we all knew that Bradley Beal was going to get traded eventually. But I don't think any of us expected Phoenix specifically, or maybe someone did. I don't know. But I remember when seeing the trade that just being shocked, like what the f- just happened? Like I felt that way about the Dame and Smart and Porzingis and Chris Paul to Golden State too. But with Bradley Beal specifically, that one was very surprising to me, at least. The rookie stuff is pretty, I mean, Victor Wembanyama sweeps this. I mean, who's most likely to win rookie of the year? Vic. Which rookie would be the best player in 5 years? Vic. But which rookie was the biggest steal at where he was selected? Cam Whitmore at 20. I would agree with that. I was lucky enough to be able to go to the Through the Wire live show in Las Vegas. And I saw Cam Whitmore in the flesh. He's a super cool dude, so wishing nothing but the best for him and how he does in Houston. He's got a, like I said, he's got a good vet in Fred VanVleet that can help him out. So wish nothing but the best for him. Best international player being Nikola Jokic makes sense. Best international player not in the NBA, Nikola Mirotic. That's a name. It's definitely a name that I haven't heard in a long time. Defense is basically dominated by three people. It's Giannis, Jrue Holiday, Jaren Jackson. So I'm not going to bore you with that stuff. Best defensive team in the NBA, Boston Celtics. And then we have the coaches, the coaching section, where Eric Spoelstra fucking ethers every single coach in the NBA. Who's the best head coach in the NBA? Eric Spoelstra. Which coach is the best manager slash motivator of people? Eric Spoelstra. Which head coach makes the best in-game decisions? Eric Spoelstra. He did not get who runs the best offense, however. That went to Mike Brown. So, and I'm happy that Mike Brown got this because I remember when he was younger leading those LeBron teams and he was known as a defensive guy from San Antonio. So I'm glad that he got this arbitrary thing from GMs that he probably doesn't give a damn about. Again, which head coach is the best defensive scheme? Eric Spoelstra. Yeah, like this guy just runs shit for the coaches. The miscellaneous category also dominated by the Denver Nuggets. Team most fun to watch? Nuggets. Which team is the best home court advantage? Denver Nuggets. Which team is the best league's most efficient offense? Denver Nuggets. It's funny that they have the Nuggets for most efficient offense, but then Mike Brown is the coach of the Kings and he ran the best offense. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a casual here. And then I also like the who's the best leader? LeBron makes sense. Best pure shooter? Steph Curry. Obviously. Which team's level of success this season is toughest to predict is interesting, because when I first read this before coming on here and doing the pod, I made sure I wanted to not look at the teams, just look at the question. And I immediately thought Dallas Mavericks because of the fit between Kyrie and Luka and how their defense last year when they traded for Kyrie and they traded away Dorian Finney-Smith, how it just went into the tank. And I felt like that team, just seeing how they would do under an immense amount of pressure, was going to be super interesting. But this has the Philadelphia 76ers. This is what GM said. And that one makes sense too with the James Harden drama and Joel Embiid. And if you believe in Tyrese Maxey long term being the two most steady guys on that team. But other than that, it's really a bunch of simple stuff. A bunch of really, really simple, you know, best player, the best basketball IQ, Nikola Jokic, you know, stuff like that. It's a bunch of obvious stuff. Moving on to the IQ moment of the week. Now, normally, like I've said before, this is my favorite segment. This is when I get to be kind of just go off on a nerd tangents and not be as structured. So this is why it's my favorite. Normally, this is a segment from another media person. But today, is we're going to change it up. We're going to do something different. I'm going to do a personal narrative. Now, I might do this more often during the season because, in my opinion, some of the media stuff gets kind of repetitive. And then when I realized when I was prepping for the show this morning and last night, I was like, yeah, if I keep doing segments from media people, it's just going to be J.J. Redick and Bill Simmons sometimes, because Bill sometimes goes off the wall. And not a van sponsorship. So it'll just get repetitive. Like, I like the same people. I might even do a Through the Wire one because I really like their perspective on basketball. So it's like, sometimes we'll mix it up and do my own thing. So I didn't even click on the video. When I was researching for this initially, the first video I saw on YouTube was Stephen A. saying something like AD was pitiful and horrible and he's a disappointment. And I saw Gilbert Arenas say the same thing. When will these motherfuckers ever learn that the beginning of the season doesn't fucking matter? When? It reminds me of that sonic meme. When will you learn that your actions have consequences? When will you learn? I just wanted to give you, the beautiful listening public, a few nuggets. No pun intended to the champions. Not a Tyson sponsorship. A few nuggets on how the beginning of the season does not matter in basketball. I'm going to give you some teams. The Pelicans, 35 games into the season, were the one seed. I think they were 23-12. They ended up being ninth and eliminated by Oklahoma City in the first playing game. Okay. The Lakers, who made the Western Conference Finals, mind you, got swept by the Nuggets, but each game was competitive. No sweep or five-game series is created equal. The games were competitive. They started 2-10. And I remember going to the preseason game last year when they still had Russ. I mean, like, this is a lottery team. That was a preseason game. Well, my dumb self, I guess I wasn't dumb because I wasn't anticipating Rob Pelinka working his magic and bringing in Jared Vanderbilt and trading away Russell Westbrook. And I can't think of everyone off the top of my head, but Jared Vanderbilt was easily the most important one. And Austin Reeves all of a sudden becoming the most, the cult classic favorite Laker player. He's the new Caruso. You know, I couldn't have, he's the new Caruso, but he's better than him. Not defensively, but just overall. I couldn't have expected that. But that's why you don't assume that anything, that you don't assume too quickly, especially in the beginning of the season. The Kings were hovering 500. I looked it up. They were 10-9 to start December. They ended up winning 48 games and pushing the Warriors, the defending champions, to 7 games. The Pacers were the fourth seed in the East in March, and they fell out of the play-in. They didn't even make the f***ing play-in. And they were the fourth seed with a month ago in the season. Dallas Mavericks, when they made the Kyrie Irving trade, were also the fourth or fifth seed in the West when they made the Kyrie trade. I think they were like, that was a weird time because like the fourth seed meant you were 5 games above 500. Last year was weird, man. Philadelphia, a team with James Harden and Joel Embiid, were 10-9, same record as the Kings, start of the season. And they went on to win, I think, 53 games. And they were the third seed in the Eastern Conference. This is the funniest one. The Blazers were 10-4 last year. And now Damian Lillard is a buck. They started off 10-4 and they ended up winning 19 more games the rest of the season. So I get that it's fun to overreact. It's part of the business. It's whatever. But for real basketball fans, it's incredibly annoying. Like, the amount of hot takes I've seen from Laker fans talking about AD is trash, AD is horrible, off of one game. And also, don't you already know that AD is a historically inconsistent player? You don't just go from inconsistent to consistent when you're 30 years old. That doesn't happen. Let me calm down before I get too angry. It's one game, y'all. It's one game. Most of the teams have only played one game this year. So just chill out. And also, before I wrap the segment up, I just want to point out that this is the new norm. You were going to see teams. I forgot to mention on my notes, Utah was the first seed. We're entering a league of unpredictability. Upsets are way more common now than they ever have been. And I don't have the numbers on it. I wish I did. But just based off vibes and feel, upsets have never happened more often than they do today. And the reason for that is the variance of three-point shooting. And every team shoots 43s a game. And if you're the team that hits 20 of them and they hit five, you win. Almost every single time. And shooting a lot of times is very inconsistent because everybody wants to be like the Warriors when no one is like the Warriors. So this is a basketball podcast. So let's get right into it. Dive in head first into the deep end. And, you know, I wasn't going to talk about the Clippers first because if you're a consistent listener of the pod, you know how I feel about James Harden. But we'll get to that later. Instead, I want to talk about the unprecedented longevity with some of these NBA stars. If any of my listeners are above the age of 30 or experience basketball pre-2000, they would know that most careers, if you had a 15-year career in the NBA, you were considered a outlier. Guys like Hakeem Olajuwon, guys like Reggie Miller that played long NBA careers into the 2000s that were drafted in the 80s were considered outliers. Most guys, if you were drafted between just in recent NBA history, between 1982 and 88, there was a very high likelihood that you never played basketball with a year that started with a two. It's a very high likelihood. And even for like the late 80s guys, because guys like Kenny Smith and Purvis Ellison, I know that's a crazy name for some of you, but he saw little to no 2000 basketball. A lot of those guys. I don't know why Purvis Ellison was the first one to pop in my mind. I just thought of the Warriors for some reason. I don't know. my ADD is coming out right now. So I was thinking, I was like, how many times in NBA history have three top 10 players been over the age of 35? Because right now we have LeBron, Steph, and KD. And I have on my notes, it said, in past NBA history, you were done at 32. Which is objectively true. Like, you hear these horror stories of past NBA legends talking about what their bodies went through when they're 33 years old. And then it always ends up segueing to why LeBron's longevity is insane. But specifically talking about KD, LeBron, and Steph, I wonder if injuries have weirdly kind of sustained their bodies. So in the past, if you tore your Achilles like Kevin did, or you pulled a groin like LeBron, or you broke your hand like Steph, those would shorten your career. I mean, it's just common sense. If you get injured, the body part will probably never be the same. So you might retire earlier. But it seems that in the modern NBA, injuries seem to almost keep your body in like an ice chamber for long periods of time. It seemed like injuries, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Spider-Man, but it's like when dude goes into the chamber and becomes Green Goblin, like, I feel like that's what some of these NBA players, that's what happens to them. Like KD tore his Achilles in the finals and he's still playing and it's 2024 and he's still right now carrying the middle of the pack 500 Phoenix Suns. And LeBron last year averaged 30 and he's had injury issues. And Steph won a championship recently after breaking his hand. Like, it's, there's a history that's being created of potentially having injuries preserve your body and not necessarily, and maybe eliminate the possibility of just wear and tear because you're resting for so long. Maybe that's just a coincidence that it's those three and they're just, it happens to be talent and not luck. But is this going to be the new norm where guys well into their 30s are still going to be playing some of the best basketball of their career? And when I asked myself that question, I thought, I'm like, what started this? What was the moment in NBA history where guys could get into their 30s and still produce at a high level? Because this was not a thing in the 90s. Unless your name was Michael Jordan, like I said, Hakeem Olajuwon, and a few other guys that I'm not mentioning right now. Unless you were the one of those guys, your career was over damn near once you reached your early mid-30s. You were done. Even Charles Barkley, who played a ton of, he was drafted in 84. By the time, I just did a history lesson on the blog, so that's why I'm talking about him. In 1997, he's only in year 13. And he looks like someone's uncle at a YMCA. Maybe not that bad, but compared to what he used to look like, he looks like someone's uncle. And so I was thinking, I was like, what? Because originally, when you ask someone this question, when you say, why do you think guys have such great longevity? Some people may say, well, people are copying LeBron's habits. I don't think that's necessarily true, because copying LeBron's habits is incredibly difficult for most people to be that driven and that disciplined. So it can't be that. Could it be the three-point shot? That's the easy answer. And you definitely have an argument, because the three-point shot obviously eliminates physicality. That's why a lot of those guys in the 90s probably didn't last as long, because of the, even though I still think that some of that physicality stuff gets gassed a little bit, but it is true that the game was different. But when I was thinking about it, in my opinion, it's the rule changes that were made in 2004 by Jerry Colangelo and the competition committee. Because if you're not aware of that, the NBA, like I said before that, there was hand checking, it was physical, there was no zone defense, there was the kind of the aura around the 90s is that it was a more physical era and it was more big men. In 2004, the competition committee changed that. They said, we're going to make the game more free-flowing. We're going to make the game more easily watchable for the fan. So we're going to eliminate hand-checking. We're going to bring zone defense back. And we're going to make it harder for defenders to not foul. Meaning we're going to, I'm pretty sure that was the first year they instituted the flagrant foul rule that we know today. Because back then, flagrant fouls weren't really a thing in the 90s. That's why a lot of times you saw people that got hit hard. It was just a common shooting foul, which gave bigs more incentive to hit you because there was no further penalty for it. And when I first thought of this, I was like, this is going to take a lot for me to try to convince you all of. But then I was like, think about the guys that were drafted and were in their prime during the era where the rules changed. I have a list of players here, not including LeBron, not including him, because I wanted to make it a point that it's not just LeBron that had longevity during this era. Steve Nash played from 1996 to 2014. Jason Kidd played for almost 20 years. He was drafted in 94. That's the thing. Jason Kidd was drafted in 1994, and I vividly remember him playing basketball when I was a kid. That is how long he played. 94 to 2013. Kobe Bryant, as we know, Hall of Fame, famous career, played for 20 years. 96 to 2016. Kevin Garnett played 21 years, 95 to 2016. Duncan, same thing, 97 to 60. There's a consistent theme here. These guys are playing damn near 20 years. And there's more. Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Vince Carter, and Dirk all played at or damn near 20 years. And they were all drafted in the same era. They were drafted in the mid-90s and hitting their prime in 2004 when these rule changes were created. Maybe that'll tell you something. So you may think it's Steph. You may think that the NBA, like Adam Silver, did something to make the games. No. This started in 2004. And if you look at all of their basketball reference, Steve Nash won his MVPs when he was 31 and 32 years old. Kobe Bryant won an MVP when he was 30 years old. Tim Duncan continued to have success post 32 years old. Ray Allen contributed to a title contender at 38 and hit one of the most clutch shots in NBA history. Vince Carter, he's probably the one that aged the worst, because I'm going to be honest, last 5 years of his career, he was bouncing from team to team and was lucky to get 25 minutes. So that was just a love of the game thing. And Dirk, who won a championship in year 13 when he was over 30 years old, playing his best basketball. Just saying. There's a consistent theme with guys that were drafted in the mid-90s. And their careers happen to be a lot longer than most guys that were drafted in the 80s. And now we move on to a man in a segment that I've been waiting to do for about a month and a half now, but I haven't found the right time to do it. But after a report came out that after the game against Utah on Monday, and this guy being back on the injury report after returning for one game, I decided I had enough. Ben Simmons was a guy that back in the 2016 draft was my favorite player in that draft by far, and it was not close. I loved his play style, obviously, with me being a LeBron fan. I love tall guards, guard-like players that can handle the ball, rebound, pass, and still score if they need to. Love that about people. Coming out of LSU, he was my guy. He and Embiid were, as I have in my notes, my golden children. I was a pseudo 76ers fan in that era. So in that era, I was a Cavs fan because of Braun, but my second team was the 76ers. And it low-key kind of still is because of Embiid. By the way, Embiid, please pray for a speedy recovery, because when I saw torn meniscus, my heart dropped. But then I was like, oh, wait, it could only be 2 weeks. So hopefully it's that scenario. But have you ever watched a TV show or a movie about a father just watching like his son get into drugs and going to jail, when he had potential to be a great person in society? That's how I feel about Ben Simmons. I'm not saying Ben Simmons does drugs. It's just a figure of speech. I'm just implying that he had potential to be Magic Johnson-like. And Joel Embiid was going to be his Kareem. And that was so, so far from what actually happened. And he has one of the weirdest basketball reference pages I've probably ever seen. If we look at it, this guy went from averaging 16, 17, 16, 14 to 7. He went from averaging 8 assists basically routinely from 2017 to 2021 to 6. He went from being one of the best defensive players in the league and being an all-defensive guy, being the steals champ, to barely trying on defense. He used to be just a rough free throw shooter. Now he's a putrid one. I've never seen a guy from age to have his best season at 22 and then have the biggest fall off I've ever seen at 26 years old. I don't even give a fuck about the back problems anymore. I really don't. Because this has been a reoccurring thing with Ben Simmons. For years, we have talked about those goddamn training videos and doing these hook shots and threes, and he's coming down. I'm like, oh, did you see that? Ben Simmons made a three. For him to come into the season and play 8 fucking games. And then when he gets on these podcasts, he tries to tell you that you're the idiot. That you are the one that's not reading between the lines with what he says. That you are the asshole. Every single podcast he does, he's like, I'm going to do better. I'm going to be better. X, Y, Z. And he doesn't do fucking anything. You are a walking paradox. On the JJ Redick show, you're like, yeah, I'm definitely going to shoot threes. Definitely. I'm going to play a lot this year. Definitely. You played 7 games. I feel like I've been grieving ever since the pass against the Hawks in 2021. And I just had a mini anger rant there, but I feel like I've been holding in that for about 5 years. And I'm ready to pull the plug. I'm done, bro. You know? It's just, how many times can one person take your heart and chuck it against a wall before you just say enough is enough? And at that, and that's where I'm at with that. If you guys are familiar with the Champions League CBS Sports Galazzo show, there's a segment on there called Hi, My Name Is, which essentially is they name a footballer and they get 3 clues to guess correctly. We are doing active star level players only per Ryan's request. if it was, you know, if it was like me battling myself, I'd have like 10th man players, but you know, it's fine. You want to go first?
Sure, let's go first here. So I'll go one. This guy, I feel like it's going to be medium level, but your basketball knowledge is pretty high.
All right.
So this guy went out of Duke University.
Okay.
He's a Jordan brand ambassador.
I think I already know who it is.
Give it.
Zion?
No.
Damn. All right.
No, got to go to the third one.
Okay.
This one's a 2-part, so I'll give you the first half of the third clue.
Okay.
So that you can guess, but then if you, like, don't know, I'll just, like, finish it off because then you'll get it.
Okay.
His idol that he looks up to is Kobe Bryant. But
I want to, I don't know if he's a Jordan athlete though. Because I think the guy I'm thinking of is a sneaker free agent right now.
Who are you thinking?
Kyrie.
No. Nope.
Yeah, right, right. I'm like, he's not a Jordan athlete.
But he plays for his rival team.
Oh, is Jason Tatum?
Yeah.
Okay. I had Jason Tatum on here too, on my list, if I'm going to lie. Did you want to hear my clues for Tatum just for
the giggles? Yeah, sorry. Sure.
So I had went to a blue blood college.
Okay.
From the same town as Nelly.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that.
And I'm very close with a player on the Phoenix Suns.
I would have not gotten that. But my three clues, also made it a little difficult to get to him until then too.
Right.
So.
All right. I'll do mine here then. All right. December 30th is my birthday.
Well, that doesn't get me anywhere.
One of my nicknames is the Little Emperor. One of them. It's not what he's known for, but it's one of his nicknames.
Holy smokes.
And I haven't made an all-defensive team since 2014.
I haven't made an all-defensive team since 2014. That means this guy must have been in the league for a while.
He's been around the block.
Been around the block.
Yeah.
I could tell. So he's still in the league, right? So it means that this guy just played a bunch of offense. James Harden?
No. James Harden has never made an all-defensive
team. I know. That's what I was thinking.
Since those clues are really, he's from Ohio.
It's no way. It's really LeBron.
It's LeBron.
That's crazy. I didn't even know that he didn't make an all defensive team.
Yeah, he hasn't made one in 10 years, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Ever since Miami, he hasn't made all defensive.
Really? So the year that he got the big block in the championship doesn't matter, I guess, huh?
No.
Wow.
Which is stupid, by the way. But yeah. I'm a LeBron fan.
Oh, are you a LeBron goat or are you
I'm a LeBron goat.
Oh God. Yeah. Oh God.
Listen,
you're like those evangelicals on campus, I'm telling you.
Bro, okay, listen. How am I supposed to make an argument for somebody I've never seen before? You know?
Who's the greatest US president of all time? Is it someone that you've been alive who has president? It's, no. You know?
Sports are a little different, but you know, I mean, I've only been alive for 20 years.
Fair enough.
But all right.
So it's now my turn to think of person number two.
I gotta get this one in two.
You know what? I think that's what. Okay, this is cool. All right. So this guy had a really bad off-season knee injury.
Like last year.
No, I said he just had it.
Like, he just had one?
Okay. Yeah, in his career, he had one in the offseason.
Okay.
He appeared on The Bachelor.
He's a looker.
And he never made a first or second team All-Pro.
You know the first person I thought of when you said Bachelor was Blake Griffin?
Nope.
But no.
Is he even still in the league?
He is, yeah. I know he isn't.
He's not in the league anymore.
No. It's on The Bachelor. Had a really bad knee injury. You said in the off season?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
And it was on TV. And it was playing basketball. You want me to give you another clue?
Yeah, damn, I'm mad at myself.
It was at the Thomas and Mack.
Oh, is it Paul George? Technically, it wasn't a knee injury.
What was it then?
He broke his leg.
Oh, my God.
Technically.
My bad there, the technicality.
He was on The Bachelor?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I didn't know. It was on the internet.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to look this up.
He appeared.
Hold on. So he wasn't like one of the...
I don't think he was one of the actual Bachelors. Okay. He just appeared on it.
Paul George, Bachelor. I got to find this. Yeah, he did. Oh, he was a Pacer. Okay. All right. That's a good one. All right. My next one. I went to a Mountain West college.
Oh, okay. I think I could get this one. Sweet.
I'm in the same draft class as Kyrie Irving.
Okay. Yeah.
And I've won a championship and finals MVP in the last 5 years.
It's Kawhi.
It's Kawhi.
There
you
go.
There we go. Let's go.
He played for SDSU.
Yep.
I collect sports cards. So I know he was in the same year as AD and Kyrie because they had a special type of rookie card. It was called Panini Threads where the rookie autographs. Those. Oh, you know what I'm talking about? We're on like the wooden card. Like it looks like a wooden card. And I tried to collect all of them. I did not get Kawhi. I did not get AD, but I had like three of the Kyries. So, but that was my favorite. That was one of my favorite types of cards to collect was the Panini Threads growing up. That's why I know that. And Isaiah Thomas was in that draft class. Yeah.
Seattle's very own Isaiah Thomas. You know?
Are you from Seattle?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. From I was like, okay. All right. So now it's my turn again. This is funny. This guy loves to demand trades.
Okay.
Never won a ring, but has won an MVP.
Okay.
Played for ASU.
James Harden?
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as he said demand trades, I was like, James Harden. I wasn't even like, I was just, I thought James Harden. And then I was like, let me get the other two to confirm it's James Harden. Yeah, he played at ASU. It's funny. Have you seen like, there's clips or pictures out there of like what he looked like at ASU versus what he looked like in Houston. And in ASU, he looked like 30 pounds heavier than he was at the Rockets. The beard is obvious, but you know. So this next one might be a little more difficult, potentially. His father played in the NBA for the Portland Trailblazers. He was traded for Paul George in 2017. And according to the internet, he owns Anthony Davis.
I should know this, but I always thought that, I don't know why I thought that Del Curry played for
Blazers.
The Blazers.
No, I think he played for Charlotte and Toronto mainly.
So so you said he got traded for Paul
George. He got traded for Paul George. And he was traded from the Thunder to Indiana in 2017.
Wait, so traded from the... I remember Paul George getting traded, but I forgot who for.
It was Victor Oladipo and this guy were the main pieces of the deal.
Holy smokes. I don't know why I'm blanking. I should know this. I'm blanked. I'm so stupid. Like, you're going to tell me I'm going to be like, how did I not know this?
It's Domantas Sabonis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. His dad, Arvidas. You know?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, who is the second guy in the trade? I completely forgot. Well, that's my poor basketball IQ, just like my poor intramural basketball play.
Hey, but listen, no, you made three. You're docking yourself.
I'll take the three.
Wasn't it like a 30-footer too?
No,
it wasn't. I'm thinking of Markieff's three.
Yeah, Markieff shot it off balance, one leg from 30 feet away.
After the game, he was like, you like that? You like that?
Yeah, I remember that. He's like, you like that. All right, so this player here... he got traded for practically a whole team. Big trade.
Okay.
Okay.
Got somebody in my mind.
Played for a team that changed its name before he arrived, so it should be really obvious.
Before he arrived?
Yeah.
So like when he got, so you got, when, wait, say that again?
When he got drafted to a team.
Right.
Before they drafted him, like. Before, like years before, they changed their name.
Okay.
And he has a unibrow, or he had a unibrow.
Yeah. Do I need to say it?
I mean,
do I need to? He's on my team.
What do you mean your team?
It's Anthony Davis, bro.
Yeah.
Because I know he got drafted by the New Orleans Hornets, technically. Yeah. And then they changed to the Pelicans like 2 years after he got drafted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe the next year.
They did like immediate, like it was like right when he got drafted.
Yeah. All right. So this next one is a good one. I tested this with a couple of my officials yesterday it stumped them.
Good luck on it.
All right. This is like a superstar, by the way.
Okay. Gotcha.
To my radio listeners, thank you for listening to part one of episode 19 of the Basketball IQ podcast. Make sure next week to catch part two of the season finale for the 2023-24 NBA season.
Thank you.
Thank y'all so much for listening to this episode of the Basketball IQ Podcast. And remember, kids, it's all about hoop.